And I hope everybody is doing well this evening. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, that's where we'll be spending most of our time tonight. And tonight I want us to think about a word that's been on my heart quite a bit lately. And that word that's right there on your screen, it's bold. Being bold in our lives, in the way that we live. And what I've decided, at least about myself, is that I am not very bold most of the time in my life. I'm not someone that I would characterize as a bold person. I did see a very good example of boldness this afternoon while I was eating lunch. Now, we happened to be sitting behind Jennifer and Rob Cook during lunch, and it turns out it was Rob's birthday today. And while we were there at lunch, they brought out, it looked like it was an old sawhorse that somebody had mounted a saddle on for him. And they brought that out and set it next to their table. And for his birthday, he got to ride the saddle while they sang happy birthday and made him say yee-haw real loud. So it was a pretty bold thing, I think, of him to do that, because that's not something that personally I would be comfortable with. And I would probably be very embarrassed. And as Susanna knows, I would probably sit there and refuse to do it. So, I don't usually do things like that. I don't usually speak my mind very often, at least not out loud where it can be heard by anybody. I don't normally stand up for myself, and I do my best to avoid confrontation and to not really have to have that confrontational moment with anybody. I don't consider myself to be a very bold person. And especially when it comes to spiritual things, and I don't know about you here, but standing up for the things that I believe in, when it comes to that part of my life, as it is with most other parts of my life, I'm not very bold. I tend to be a little bit more timid. How about you? Can I see a show of hands that might classify themselves in the timid area? I think we've got a bunch of liars in the audience here, all right? We tend to be a little bit more timid about our spiritual boldness. But when I come to my Bible and I'm reading through it, you know, timid is not a word that I read very often. How about you? I don't see timid in the Bible. The word that I see most in the Bible is bold. And I read examples of how people were bold in their faith. They were bold for God. Guys like Daniel is probably one of the more bold people that I know. But I decided that I would go to my dictionary, and that is dictionary.com. And here's what I found, that it defines bold or boldness as not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger. I like that one. Very straddling the fence there. Not hesitating to break the rules of propriety or beyond the usual limits of conventional thought or action. And some of that is a little bit confusing for me as I'm trying to read. And that's one thing that I discovered about the dictionary. It does have all of the words there, but not necessarily in a way that I understand them. So I found this one, and I like it a little bit better. And I hope that you do too. That is, boldness is behavior born out of belief. Boldness is behavior born out of belief. That what you believe, what you hold as your core values, determines how you behave. The things that we accept and live our lives by determine our actions. The Greek word here for bold that was in our scripture reading in verse 13 of Acts chapter 4 is parahesia, and it means outspokenness or assurance. It could mean courage. It could also mean confidence. It could mean to act without fear. And so the prayer here for me tonight is that God will take us, you and I, will take a church, will take an individual who may not necessarily be known for being bold, and that God will give us courage. That God will give us a spirit of outspokenness. That He will give us the ability and the desire to act without fear. I pray tonight that God will help make us bold for our faith. And I want us to look just a few minutes tonight at one of the boldest guys that I know, and his name is Peter. Maybe you guys, hopefully most of you know Peter. Peter the disciple, Peter the apostle of Jesus Christ after he died and after he rose again. And as disciples, I think we can relate to Peter pretty well, can't we? We have a lot of the same experiences in our lives. Peter, I think, can be characterized most in what we know of him from the Bible as someone who had bold intentions. You know, he was always the first one to step up and speak his mind, so he had bold intentions followed by very timid actions. Right? What do you think? The stories can go on and on with him, but just think about some of the ones that you can think of off the top of your head. Probably his most well-known moment was with Jesus. You know, they're sitting there, they're having this conversation, and Peter says to him, "Jesus, if any of these other guys, any of these other disciples leave you, I want you to know that I have your back, that I will be there for you, I will never deny you." And by the end of that day, actually before barely after the day got started, he had denied Jesus three times. The man who had stood up so boldly to say, "Jesus, I've got your back," is the very first one to turn around and say, "Jesus, who's that guy? I don't know him. I've never spent any time with him." But something happened to Peter, didn't it? And I'm hoping tonight that something will happen to us as well. That when Jesus died, and then he rose again on the third day. You can read about this. John chapter 21, we're not going to look at it tonight. But Peter encounters Jesus here after he's risen from the dead. And in their conversation there, it's like this flip or this switch gets flipped for Peter. All of a sudden, something happens in there where all of a sudden Peter becomes bold. And he follows it up with those bold actions. All of a sudden, we see bold Peter. He's there in Acts chapter 2 preaching in front of several thousands of people, which I think would be intimidating enough. But he preaches one of the boldest messages that you can read in the Bible. He looks at them and he calls them a corrupt generation. That's not exactly politically correct for the day, is it, to sit there and call them that? And he tells them that they need to turn from their sins, that they need to repent and turn to Jesus, and that they need to be baptized in his name. Such a bold statement. You know, in that day, 3,000 people were added to the church, and we see, you know, the New Testament church, the followers of Jesus Christ, we see that explode from that day forward. Bold Peter follows through with his bold statements there. And one day we see Peter and John as they're walking through town, and they come across a man who's been lame for 40 years. 40 years he's been there. He hasn't been able to walk. And they look down at him and they say, "You know, get up, take your bed. It's time to go. It's time to get on with life." They heal this man, and all of a sudden, people hear about it because people knew this man. They'd been passing by him for the last 40 years. They knew that he was lame. And so word gets out, and it's not a good thing because they did this in the name of Jesus. "In the name of Jesus, I command you to rise and walk." And all of a sudden, they're surrounded by controversy because of that one action. The next chapter, they get arrested. The temple guards, who are under the control of the Sanhedrin at the time, come and arrest them, and they put them on trial here in front of the Sanhedrin. And I want you to picture this, because it's not like our courtrooms of today where there is the judge up behind the I almost call it podium because I don't know what to call it, and you know, the defendant on one side and the prosecutor on the other side. It wasn't like that. Here the Sanhedrin would come and they would surround you. A circle of the religious leaders of the day, and they would put you in the middle. And they would fire questions at you from all sides, and you had to be able to defend yourself at every turn and at every question. can you say intimidation? As they fire these questions at you, and you were judged right there, and your fate is decided right there, whether they're going to beat you, imprison you, or kill you. So imagine that scene as here Peter and John are drugged before the Sanhedrin. They're put in the middle of this, and all of a sudden the question comes to them, by what name and what authority do you do these things? For their bold actions, now they have to answer for them. And let's look at their answer, verses 8 through 10 of Acts chapter 4. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, and I love that the writer here gives us that so that we know that it's not Peter talking here, that it is the Holy Spirit, that it's Jesus talking through him. That Peter said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Let me clearly state to all of you and to all of the people of Israel that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. I love that. The powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene. And as if to take it a little bit further for him, he says, this is the man that you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Isn't that great? Sometimes I think that we miss out a little bit on the boldness of this statement. I mean, these men that he was surrounded by hated Jesus. They were glad that he was gone. They didn't want to hear his name again. They didn't want to hear from him anymore. The foundation of their faith, the core beliefs that they held, was that resurrection from the dead was absolutely impossible. They didn't believe in it. And here's Peter. He's pointing at these men and he says, you killed him, but he's risen from the dead. I mean, that takes a lot of courage. That takes a lot of guts to stand there and say something like that to the men who hold the fate of your life in the palm of their hands. I mean, can you talk about a declaration of war if there ever was one? And it's interesting here that the controversy that is in these statements, that 2,000 years ago, the name of Jesus was so controversial. Isn't it interesting that the name of Jesus still draws so much controversy today? That when, as soon as you speak the word Jesus, there's usually somebody there, you know, to go against you. But here's Peter saying, you killed him, and he's back. And the leaders, you know, the leaders of the Israel at the time, they couldn't believe what they were hearing. They couldn't believe what they were seeing here. And look at their response in verse 13. We looked at it as our scripture reading. That the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. They were amazed at these ordinary men, and they also recognized them as men who spent time with Jesus. I want to spend the rest of our time tonight kind of looking at this one verse, and I want us to look specifically at three bold facts that I think come from this verse. And the first one of those is this, that God gives ordinary people extraordinary boldness. God gives people extraordinary boldness. I don't know if you saw that here, that the members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men. And the word that's translated ordinary here, that word in the Greek is idiotes. It's one of those. It can mean unlearned. It can mean unschooled. It can also mean ordinary, as it's translated here for us. But if we were to take it literally, do you know what the translation of idiotes is? Quite literally, it's idiots. All right? I don't really like that word, but I think that it fits for us here. That they were amazed and couldn't believe the boldness of these two idiots to stand there in the circle and proclaim the name of Jesus to them. The thing here that I want you to know, that if you're the smartest of the smart, the brightest of the bright, kind of in the room here, God can still use you. God still uses you. But what I want us to see here is that God specializes in using idiots, in using ordinary people to do extraordinary things for Him and His kingdom. God loves to take the people that others overlook, that you and I would count as just someone, as just the common person, and give them extraordinary boldness. So many of us are sitting here thinking, well, I'm just a Christian, you know, I'm just a person. I'm not naturally bold like this. You know, I'm more of a quiet person, and I have to tell you, I'm more of a quiet person if you don't know that about me. We're more of quiet people. You know, I didn't go to school, you know, to be someone who proclaims the gospel, to be somebody who tells others about Jesus. I'm not a teacher. You know, I'm just an ordinary Christian. But I want you to understand that when you put on the name Christian, that automatically qualifies you to be bold. It's kind of one of those requirement things. And none of the excuses that we were just talking about, no matter what you are by nature, we've got to be bold for Christ. And there are so many ways in our lives that we can be bold, whether it's at work. You gather around the water cooler and there, you know, the gossip is going on back and forth. Did you hear about what so-and-so did this weekend? No, I didn't. And then on and on and on and on it goes. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You know, if you were to stand there and say, you know what, because I'm a Christian, because I love God, because I want to stand up for what I believe in, I'm going to walk away from this. And you turn and you walk away from that conversation. Do you know what you just were at that moment? You were bold, weren't you? You were bold in standing up for your faith. Girls, when it comes to, and there's not very many girls here, but the clothes that we wear, you know, I know what the styles are. And it's really scary when I go to the mall sometimes. I feel like I need blinders on my eyes. And we go with, oh, it's just the style. That's what girls are wearing these days. But girls, if we were to stand up and say, you know what, because I love God, because I love Jesus, and I respect myself as a human being, I'm not going to follow those styles. You know, I'm going to clothe myself modestly. Do you know what you are when you do that? You're bold. You're bold when you stand up and say, you know what, I'm not going to follow the crowd. And guys, when it comes to the way that we treat girls, when you're with your friends and you hear the way that guys talk about girls sometimes is absolutely ridiculous. It's scary sometimes. You know, I've done it. But if we were to stand up and you say, you know what, because I love God, because I follow Jesus, I'm going to treat these girls as if I was, you know, out on a date with God themselves. You know, I'm going to treat them with respect. I'm going to treat them the way that I would want to be treated. You know what you are when you do that? You're bold in your lives. In business deals, I know we have lots of businessmen in here. Sometimes when you come across these deals, you have the opportunity in those deals to make lots and lots and lots of money. And it's really tempting. But there's something about that deal that just doesn't quite feel right. There's something weird about that deal. If you were to step back, you know, from the table and just walk away and say, you know what? Because I love God, because I follow Jesus, I can't in good conscience go through with that deal. For you to step back and walk away from that, that is boldness, folks. Being able to stand up for the things that we believe in, letting our behavior be determined by the things that we believe in. God can take the ordinary people of this world and give them extraordinary boldness. The second thing that I want us to realize here is that your boldness will amaze the world. Your boldness will amaze the world. When you become spiritually bold for the glory of God, your boldness is going to absolutely shock and awe the world. The members of the council, they were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. They were amazed. Why? Why were they amazed? Because they knew that they could kill them, Peter and John, that is, knew that the men that they were standing around had the power to kill them, and they didn't care. Is that crazy? I mean, if that was me in that circle, I'd be scared stiff, and I'd be tempted, probably as Peter did earlier, to deny Jesus. But they're saying, these men of the Sanhedrin here, they're saying, I don't know if I believe what they're saying or not, but I know that they believe in what they're saying. I don't know if I'm personally convinced, but I know that they are. A question that I'm curious about right now is, when was the last time that someone was amazed by your boldness, by the boldness that you possess? Let's put it on a scale, just 1 to 10. 10 being the highest, 1 being, I really haven't been bold for God in several years. How amazed are people by your boldness? I just want you to kind of do a little personal evaluation right now. What's really cool is that there are people in this room sitting here that are 8s, 9s, and some maybe even 10s. And, they're not like the crazy standing on the street corner downtown on a Saturday night telling everybody that they're going to go to hell kind of Christians, all right? They're not those guys. Those guys are kind of weird and creepy if you've ever seen them down there. What I'm talking about is those people who have boldness with integrity. Where you're serving people faithfully, you're encouraging them, you're living among them with integrity. You're so generous with your time and your money and your heart that you've served your way into these people's lives. You've earned the right to say to them, because I love you so much, can I please tell you about Jesus? That's the kind of boldness that we're talking about, here, your boldness and integrity. And I know that you're sitting there probably saying, well, that's great. That's great for them. That's great for those, those 8s, those 9s. But I'm not there. I'm just not to that point. What do I do if I'm not there? And that kind of leads us to point number 3. And I want us to remember this one really well here, is that spiritual boldness comes from knowing Christ. Spiritual boldness comes from knowing Christ. Let's look at the tag on this verse here. It says that they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. How could Peter stand there in the face of death and say what he did? It's because he knew Jesus. Here's the key, and I want us to remember this. This is what I want you to take away from this lesson here, and to remember really well, is that boldness in our lives is not the goal. To stand there and be bold is not the goal. The goal is this. Knowing Jesus is the goal. Boldness, the boldness that we see in Peter and John here, is a byproduct of knowing Jesus. I want us to think of it this way. I wish that I had put it on the slides and I didn't for you. But I want you to think kind of in circular terms here. And at the top of that circle, write the word time. Time. The time that we spend with Jesus. The more that you spend time with Jesus, do you know what that leads to? If you want to write maybe about 45 degrees down. I'll take it back, 90 degrees down. Time with Jesus leads to faith in Him. And as your faith grows, do you know what it leads to? Another 90 degrees. All right? Faith leads to boldness. And as your boldness grows, it leads to the next 90 degrees, and that is results. Spiritual results. And as you see results, guess what happens? You'll spend more time with Jesus, and your faith will grow, and your boldness will grow. And this whole cycle, you see, keeps going and going. As you spend time in the Word, your faith grows. As your faith grows, your boldness grows. As your boldness grows, you start to see these results. And it goes round and round and round. And it's a great thing, isn't it? I mean, to think about it in those terms. But the problem with this, there is a problem, is that the absolute opposite of that is true as well. That when you don't spend much time with Jesus, you don't have very much faith, do you? And when you don't have very much faith, you're not going to be strong enough to stand up and be bold about it. And when you're not strong enough to stand up and be bold about it, you're definitely not going to see the results. And as a result of not seeing results, you're going to spend less time with Jesus. You're not going to want to spend time with Jesus, because you're not going to be seeing the positive things happening in your life. And guess what? Your life is not going to be very spiritual. It's going to be empty. And we're going to find ourselves one day sitting around wondering, you know, what happened to my life? Why are things so empty for us? Boldness. I like that thought. And if you're sitting there and thinking to yourself, you know what, I'm a 1, I'm a 2, a 3, maybe a 5, somewhere around in there, guess what? I have really, really good news for you. That your upside in all of this is huge. It's absolutely huge. There's so much more that God wants to do with you in this world. I want you to be encouraged by that. I don't want you to be discouraged tonight. If you're down in that, you got a lot of room to grow. You've got a lot of places to go with your life. But we've got to spend time with Jesus, don't we? If you do, He'll grow your faith. He'll give you boldness, and you'll see results, and you'll get to spend more time together. And can you think of anything that's sweeter than being able to spend more time with your Lord and Savior? I want us tonight to refuse to be a half-hearted and lukewarm church that we read about in Revelation. I don't want us to be the church that has left and lost our first love. Be the real deal tonight. Be the real church. Be a real Christian. Be someone who's going to stand up for what you believe in. Be a disciple who spends so much time with Jesus every day. And if we do that, I know that He's going to do great things with you and with me and with this church here at Sunset. Can you imagine if all of us spent at least an hour every day with Jesus, where He would take us? If you haven't begun to know Him tonight, now is the perfect time to get in that circle, to start spending time with Him, to start having your faith built up, to start seeing, you know, the boldness in your life. If you've fallen down, if you've lost your boldness and quit spending time with Him like so many of us have, now is the perfect time to recommit yourself as we stand and as we sing.